You know, what you talk about in the natural invites things in the spiritual. Now, we've all heard that, right? Our mouth acts as a switch. And speaking the word of God invites him into our presence. As we speak the word of God, as we speak the things of God, how he sees things, it invites him in. And when we speak negatively about things, it invites the forces of evil to continue their plan on the earth. I don't know about you, but I don't want their plan to rule my life. Anyway, we've heard this a lot. So I'm not going to be teaching on that. I'm not going to be trying to prove that our words have something to do with it. But, you know, when you sing into the Lord, what happens? You sense the Spirit of God coming in and just hovering over you. He's pleased with it. Amen? Well, who I am going to talk about today is the Holy Spirit. And that's why I was wanting you to come all close. Because he is a gentleman. And we're going to be talking more about it, but, you know, about when he came in the form of a dove, it really represents a lot about the Holy Spirit. He's a gentle personality, and we'll get more into all of this, but if he senses that you couldn't really care less about him, he's not going to manifest himself. He's not going to try to take over. He responds to your hunger and your thirst. Your desire, that's what he responds to. And so today, we're going to invite him to just come in, lead my conversation, our conversation, have his way in this service, okay? So Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God today. Bring with us the Spirit of God who's living within each one of us. We just lay down all of our cares, all of our thoughts, anything that would distract us from hearing your word. We come with eagerness to hear from you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to just lead our conversation and teach us. Teach us so that we will know how to act, how to move, what to expect with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. First thing I wanted to say is the Holy Spirit is not a disembodied spirit hanging out in space somewhere. He is the third person of the Godhead. And so that's who we're discussing today. And we're going to start right out in Genesis, because even though it doesn't talk about him being an actual personality as such, he's mentioned right in the very first chapter. Verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This word hovering is like a hen that broods or hovers over her nest of eggs. She's taking care of those eggs. And the Spirit was hovering over all these waters, and he was waiting to hear what God said. Whatever God the Father said, God the Creator said, he was waiting so that he could do whatever was spoken by God the Father. So he was hovering over there. And then we see all the things in there that God created and did. And then we skip down to verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we see God saying, let us. So there had to be more than one individual, right? If there's an us, there's at least two, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it didn't say here who was us. But if we went back to the first few verses, we know at least there's God and the Holy Spirit. Because it's right there, okay? And we see right away one of the purposes for man was to have dominion over everything that God created. That's our job. We're not supposed to let it rule us. We're supposed to be ruling it. Amen? Hallelujah. I just thought I'd throw that in for free. I get a little silly. I'm sorry, but sometimes, you know, that's just the way the Holy Spirit works through me. So I just let him have his way. I have a good time, whether anybody else does or not. So anyway, he was present at the baptism of Jesus. We're going to turn to Matthew, the third chapter. And then we're going to look at verse 11, first of all. And this is John the Baptist saying, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Well, I don't know if you've ever seen a raging fire, but I have, and it takes over everything. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 13, and we're reading through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "But I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. He didn't say that a dove came down and lit on him, which, you know, a lot of people think that that's how he appeared. It didn't say that It was a dove that came down and lit on him. He said, like a dove. In other words, the Spirit just came gently down, filled him. Now, it's quite possible that there was the dove involved. I don't know. But God wants us to get that picture of what the Holy Spirit is like. He's gentle. He's coming only when invited. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now this is a definite example of the Trinity, where you have God the Father speaking, the Son being baptized, and the Holy Spirit coming and alighting on him. Now this is one example of the Trinity. Then we're going to turn over to Luke, the third chapter, and we're going to read verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. See, Jesus was actually praying to the Father when he was being baptized. And when he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. This was before he even started his ministry. God said, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased. Because he was preparing himself. He was following what the scripture said. He knew that he needed to be baptized by John. And he, even though he was the Son of God, humbled himself and went to be baptized. Jesus needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit before he started his ministry. Yes, he was the Son of God, and yes, he was living a pure and holy life, but he needed the power of Almighty God in the form of the Holy Spirit to help him carry out the ministry that he had, to go through everything that he was going to have to go through. All the ridicule and everything he had to go through. And then the death that he had to go through. Having to believe that God was going to raise him from the dead. He needed the strength of the Holy Spirit. Next is John, the first chapter, in verses 32 to 34. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. In other words, he didn't leave. The Holy Spirit stayed with him. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, the priests and the kings, from time to time, the Holy Spirit would come on them. And then, after they did whatever, you know, God was wanting them to do, the Holy Spirit would leave them for a time. They didn't just walk around with this holy presence of God on them. But with Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and remained upon him. And John says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. That was John's witness to know that this is the right one. I'm sure he knew Jesus as his cousin. But And he'd heard the stories, I'm sure. But his witness from God was that when you see the Holy Spirit come and stay on him, then you know this is the one that I have sent. So he didn't take mankind's word for it, right? He waited. It was confirmed by God himself, by the Spirit of God. So there we see the Trinity in manifestation, all three. So if anyone ever wants to argue with you about the Trinity, hey, those scriptures right there you can stand on. Amen? Now let's go to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read 6, 7, and 8. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. There you have the Trinity again. The Word, we know, it talks in John, first chapter, talks about Jesus being the Word. He's the spoken Word. Jesus is the Word. So we have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. So we're going to read that in the Amplified now, which kind of helps bring it out a little bit more. I don't even have to turn to my Amplified. It's right there. This is he who came by with water and blood, his baptism and his death. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, not by in the water only, but by in the water and the blood. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, because the Holy Spirit is the truth. How many of you know that without the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the truth? He has to reveal the truth. He is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth and the way. All three are one, and they are the truth. So this kind of helps clear up a little bit about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and why they refer to the water and the blood. Okay, so let's go on to the 8th verse. And there are three witnesses on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. They are in unison. Their testimony coincides. So we see the Spirit both in the heavenly realm, and we see him in the earthly realm. He makes up the third person of each one of these parts. Those who testify in heaven and those who testify on earth. So the Spirit is involved in both. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit, is the replacement of Jesus Christ on the earth today. Let's go to John chapter 16. So in the New King James Version, John 16:7-15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit here. Of sin because they do not believe in me. He's the one that convicts people to draw them unto Jesus. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, notice that Jesus is calling the Spirit, he, not it, or the Spirit, and he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Over and over and over, Jesus was saying, he, the third person of the Trinity, he will do these things upon the earth. He was trying to let the disciples and those that were listening to him know, you're going to need him. I'm not going to be with you, but he's going to be here. He's your helper. He is going to be helping you. You know what? That's his purpose, to help us. It's our part to listen. He's on the inside of us. He resides within us. We need to take time to listen. Amen? Do we hear him speaking to us? He says, my sheep hear my voice. Do we take time? Do we take time to listen and let him speak to us? Each one of us can hear him. Each one. No one can say they can't hear unless you're not born again. But you can. So we have to listen. We can't know the truth unless we listen. Many times he speaks to us just by reading the word. We read the word and all of a sudden the scripture just, whoa, I didn't know that verse was saying that. And the Holy Spirit just opens it all up and reveals to you. And you say, wow, that's neat. Jean-Louis and I were just talking about that earlier. How God can just reveal something. Something you've pondered over for years and years and years. And the Holy Spirit can just come in and just all of a sudden reveal something to you. And you're saying, wow. You got to have a love relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's here representing Jesus. It's the same as having a love relationship with Jesus and the Father. They're all three, one. You love one, you have to love the others. You can't pick one over the other. They're all the same. They're all equal. They all have their place, their position. They're very much in position. The Holy Spirit, he didn't try to take over in the creation. He was hovering and waiting Father, what are you saying? What do you want to do? I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do it. He was ready. Just think, if each one of us allowed the Holy Spirit to be that within us, just think what would happen in our lives and in those around about us. We walked into the room and they would say, whoa, there's something about that person. Anyway, you guys are so serious. God is so good. Anyway, we're going to turn back just a chapter to the 14th chapter. Oh, God. 14th, 16, and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. How many of you believe that God answers Jesus' prayers? Does he answer Jesus? Yes. His beloved son? Well, you know, we're all beloved in the Father's eyes. But he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He's with us forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So there's two things there. He will dwell with you. When you dwell with someone, you're in the same house or whatever. You're in the same, you know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's dwelling with us, but he's also saying, I'm going to be in you. In other words, I'm going to be right in your spirit. I'm going to be talking to you. I'm going to be telling you things, secrets between us, things that nobody else knows. I'm going to be imparting my power and my strength to you. So let's read this in the Amplified now. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, cannot welcome, are taken to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Go back to the 16th verse there. So look at all these things that the Holy Spirit is for us. And I'm sure this isn't a complete list, but comfort. Do you need comfort? He's there. Counselor, do you need somebody to tell you what you need to do in a certain circumstance? He's there to help you. Why should you do it on your own? He's there to help you. Intercessor. Well, he's there to intercede for you. I don't know about you, but there's some times that I need someone to intercede for me. Advocate. He's our lawyer. He goes to bat for us. When the devil comes before God and tries to accuse us, he says, nah, that won't work here. He's our strengthener and our standby. He's standing there, standing by us, waiting to help us. All we have to do is to lean on him. Reach over and say, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Help. I need you. Hallelujah. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Now we're going to look at Acts 1, 4 and 5. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit to us. He already in those verses was doing the same thing, but we're just going to see it a little bit more here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. The Father promises. The Holy Spirit is a promise. It's a gift from the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now he was talking to the disciples and to people that had already accepted him as the Lord and Savior. They were already saved, but they needed power. They needed the Holy Spirit. And so we see that there's actually two different experiences that take place. And we're going to look at Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, just to show that there was an event when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit indwells us on two different occasions, two different experiences. At salvation, let's look at John 4, because that's scriptures I used previously when I was speaking, when we talked about the Samaritan woman. John 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So this is like a, well, verse 14. But whoever drinks from the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We know that when we get saved, we are able to partake of that everlasting life. That life, the life of God, and that fountain of living water. Have you ever seen a fountain that there's not much pressure in it, and it's just kind of bubbling up at the top of it, and it's not springing up forth? Well, he's talking about this living water. Living water is water that moves. It's like an artesian well. Anybody know what an artesian well is? Okay. An artesian well, there's never-ending source of water. There's pressure behind it. It just keeps on pushing it up. On the farm, if we had a spring-fed creek or whatever, there was running living water that would move, and When you have living water, it cleans things out. It moves things along. It gets rid of stuff. So our salvation is like that. It just kind of keeps on flowing. But, you know, we can control how much power is coming up through there. We can cap that artesian well off. Or we can put a valve on it and just let a little bit out at a time. Or we can open it full wide and just let the power of God flow through us. That's how much ability we have. Because the power of God is within us and resides within us. Each and every one of us, we have the same power, the same anointing from the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives within each one of us. But how much are we willing to turn it on? How much are we willing to let it flow? Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us a little extra oomph. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, we're going to go to. 11th verse. Let's get there somehow. Matthew 3:11 is where I'm going. And I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, when we get baptized in water, we're saying to the world, I have chosen to follow after Jesus. I have chosen to live different from the world. I have chosen, this is my way of life, and this is a witness, is that I am going down into the water, representing death. I'm coming back up full of life, the new life that God has given me through Jesus Christ. So we need that, but at the same time, Jesus is saying here that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to turn to John 7:37-39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, are you thirsty today? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So how thirsty are you? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now we don't have just a fountain. We have a river. We don't have that little creek. We have a river flowing. You can see it's flowing. The flowing river of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, there was a timing. Jesus had his time on earth, and this time on earth was his period of time, and the Holy Spirit was there helping him, but he wasn't free to fill those believers yet. That had to come after Jesus went away, because Jesus was going to send him. The Father had promised that Jesus could send the Holy Spirit to take his place, that he would be with us, he would help us. So when we're calling on the Holy Spirit to help us, it's the same as calling on Jesus. If we're calling on Jesus, guess who's going to do the work? The Holy Spirit is there. He's the one that's going to do it. Just like when God said, "Let there be," what? The Holy Spirit was hovering over, waiting to do it. He's there. He's waiting. And as we speak forth the words of God, he's waiting to hear. He's going to listen to those words that we speak. And when we speak those words of God, when we command the devil to stop in his tracks, when we do the things that the scripture says that we can do, the Holy Spirit's there waiting. He's like, "Oh, good, they got it. They're speaking the word of God. I can do something. I've been hovering, I've been waiting. Now I can do it. I can do it." Hallelujah. He's promised. He's promised to us. So we know that the Father gave the Son. I'm just going to quote this in John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave..." You can say it with me. Come on. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's you and I. Hallelujah. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus. And then the Son gave us the Holy Spirit, which was promised by the Father. And we read that in Acts 1:4-5. And we'll skip over that because we read that already. Now, what does the Holy Spirit give to us? You know that he has gifts for the church? We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. I'm going to actually start up at verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." Gentiles just mean those that who didn't know God. Anybody that wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. And so that, I mean, we qualified for that. Anybody that didn't know Jesus, we're a Gentile. So we were carried away into dumb things. Dumb idols, dumb things. Anything that comes before God is an idol. It doesn't have to be a carved out image. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Jesus is Lord. And that doesn't just mean mouthing the words. That means he is Lord of my life. He is Lord. If they can't say he's Lord of my life, and you know they're not following Jesus. "Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of authorities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know that God gives you a gift and it's not for you? You're supposed to use it for the body of Christ. It's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all in these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It's Him who decides who gets. But verse 31, I'll just throw this one in. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he goes on to talk about love. None of these gifts, if it's not with love, is worthless. The only way they really work is by love. And so it doesn't mean to say that you can't have more than one gift. You can have several gifts. And that doesn't mean that you possess them. Once you have that gift, oh, you can always manifest that gift. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. And it's for the body of Christ. So, whatever the need is the gift that's important at that time. One's not greater than the other. It's what is needed at that time. You might be ministering to someone one-on-one, and God can give you a word of knowledge that will break that whole thing open wide. I talked about it when Jesus was ministering to the Samaritan woman. I mean, he wasn't getting through to her until he used the word of knowledge. And then all of a sudden, whoa, this guy knows something about me that nobody else knows here. I mean, how could he know? See, God, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, that he can take any one of us and use that way for whatever the need is. What is the need? What is the need? Look to him. Ask him, Lord, I need help in this. Give me something here to help. And he just wants us to ask. He just wants us to be there. He wants us to allow him to use us. It's amazing that God Almighty would want to use us, that He needs us. Each one of us, He needs us. He told me that one time. That floored me. You need me? Why would he need me? He could pick anybody. He could do anything he wanted. It's the same for each and every one of us. We need to allow him to minister that to us. He needs us. Because you've got something within you that he's made and created that he wants to bless someone else with. It's not for us. Yeah, we might get blessed. I get more blessed than you when I get to speak. I mean, sometimes I can't contain myself. Now you'll get me to crying. But God is so good that he's just waiting. He's waiting for us. We're not waiting for him. No, he's waiting for us. The Holy Spirit was poured out a couple thousand years ago. And he's just waiting on us. And he's given all these gifts. Well, let's talk about the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Well, as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit, we saw that one of the first things is speaking with other tongues. But there are many manifestations of the Holy Spirit, such as fire, smoke, laughter, joy, peace, a holy hush or quietness that just comes over. Have you ever been in a service where got so quiet, you didn't want to say a word, you didn't want to move. It's like, if I move, it's like almost like you're set in place because there's such a holy, quiet awe. And then I've been in some of those services where the spirit of laughter was so strong, you couldn't help but laugh, and you didn't know what you were laughing at. You just look at somebody and somehow they look funny and you just start laughing. Or something was going on and you don't even know what was going on. It's like, what's going on there? And you'd see it burst out laughing over here. And then before you know it, it'd be like a wave and just come over everybody. Just that laughter, it's so freeing, so healing. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. He's looking for people who are willing to let him move. You know that the Holy Spirit is restricted? That valve we shut on and off? Well, we want to be so formal. Okay, especially here in New England, we're going to be formal. Sometimes you just gotta shake off that stuff that you had before. Shake it off and say, Holy Spirit, use me. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people say. Whatever you want to do, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of times the very things that we dread, oh, I hope the Holy Spirit never uses me that way. A lot of times he never does that. And then sometimes he'll just do it just to break you free. Hallelujah. But there's a character in the believer that happens when we allow the Holy Spirit. And that's called the fruit of the Spirit. So we're just going to look at that real quick in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. I'm just kind of giving you a synopsis or a quick overview of the Holy Spirit. There's no way we could cover everything about the Holy Spirit in one service. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is what develops within the person that is filled with the Spirit of God. We have this at our, you know, it's what the Holy Spirit wants to do within us. And when we're trying to live like this, we don't have to worry about the law. It gets taken care of. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to bring about all of this. And if we have this ruling in our life, guess what? We're not going to be harming our neighbor. We're not going to be doing something that is going to cause someone else hurt. Hallelujah. So our part is to believe, receive, and act on His word. Are we willing to trust Him? That's what it really comes down to. Are we willing to trust Him? When we don't, He is limited in what He can do to help us. So we have to struggle along in our own strength, which is no match for the devil. If we want to do it on our own, the Holy Spirit will just be a gentleman and let us do it on our own. He's not going to step in where He's not been asked to help. So, sometimes we're struggling along and all of a sudden, oh yeah, there's the Holy Spirit. Hey, Holy Spirit, help me. All of a sudden, there's an answer. There's something that will give us the ability to know what to do. And we just keep speaking the Word of God. Keep speaking the Word of God over our circumstances, over our situation. So what if everything seems like it's falling down around about you? That's not what's real. What's real is what the Word says, what God says. So don't let the devil deceive you. That's what he's trying to do, is just deceive us. So if you want to study more about the Holy Spirit, there's two booklets by Kenneth E. Hagin, Brother Hagin, that are very good in helping with this. 7 Vital Steps to Receiving the Holy Spirit, and the other one is Concerning Spiritual Gifts. There's 26 lessons on the Holy Spirit. See why I couldn't cover it all? He's got 26 lessons here and his gifts. I don't think you want me to go over all 26 lessons right now. Main thing is to let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Amen? Listen to Him. Read the Word. Let Him be our teacher. As we saw in John 16:13, He is the Spirit of truth, and He will tell us of things to come. You want to know what's going to happen? You want to know how to live your life? He is going to be telling us. Hallelujah. Would you like to experience the Holy Spirit today in your life to minister to you? You know, all we have to do is ask Him. Let's read in Acts, the 4th chapter. We're going to read it 29 to 31. Remember, we mentioned this in one of our other messages. Peter and John was told, don't talk about that name. Don't bring that name in. We killed him off. We do not want you to talk about that name. Sure, you just had a notable miracle, but we don't want that. And this is what they prayed to the Lord. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I've prayed that for today, that with all boldness I would speak God's word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, they ask God. That's what I'm doing today. What I've been doing is asking God. Each one of us has some kind of a need. something going on in our lives that we need help from the Holy Spirit. Do I see any heads nod that yes, we need the Holy Spirit to help? And so I am asking, and you with me, we need you, Holy Spirit. We need a move of your mighty Spirit within us. We need you to manifest yourself. And guess what? We don't have to have some special speaker come in. We don't have to have some person of God has this mighty anointing to come along, because we've got the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does it. All we have to do is have faith, come to Him in faith and ask. We're not coming to a person such as a human person. We're coming to the Holy Spirit, to God, and we're saying, God, I need your help. I want you. Let's look at Isaiah 55. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Remember, the Holy Spirit is represented by the water. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you know that he is near? Do you know that he is here? He's right here. He's very precious. That he would honor us with his presence. Anything that we have need of, he is here. He is present. I want to go to Revelations. This is something that is a future event, but I want you to look at it in light of the Holy Spirit here. We're going to read starting at the first verse. While I'm reading about it, I want you to just think about what you would like to ask of the Holy Spirit right now. What would you like to go home with today? And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. There shall be no night there. They will no need of lamp, no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Do you need light on a situation? I, Jesus, verse 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.